each other about their books, as well as sign them, at 7 p.m. on Tuesday, February 11th at the Hill Center at 921 Pennsylvania Avenue Southeast. This is the third session of the series, Our City, Our Music, Our Writers. Details at hillcenterdc.org. WPFW, building a better world, one broadcast at a time.
Hello, I'm Dr. E. Faye Williams, National Chair of the National Congress of Black Women. And you're tuned to member-supported WPFW Washington.
Good evening. It's just about 6 p.m. in the nation's capital. The name of the show is News Views. My name is Garland Nixon. I'm on every Friday from 6 to 7 p.m. And we take calls. Of course, the phone number is 202-588-0893, 202-588-0893. Before we get going, I'd like to talk a bit. So last week, I talked, you know, post-election, and my position was, look, in order to be a little healthier than we are politically, because we are extremely unhealthy at this time, you know, I said, I think it's unhealthy to have one dominant party. Right now, we do have one dominant party. And I said, I think that the Democratic Party needs to try to regain itself, because it's very unhealthy for a system like this with one dominant party. And discussed it. I listened to my own show later on. I talked to people and I said, you know, can they, you know, regroup and get up off the floor? It kind of been punched and knocked down. And, you know, a lot of people call with various things. And after the course of the week, the course of last week, I have much less confidence. I didn't have any confidence then. I just was putting that out there. But I don't have the confidence now that the Democratic Party is going to be able to get up off the floor and get themselves together and become, you know, viable. I think they're, you know, pretty much hoping for the Republicans. I put it like this. It appears to me that we are still in this mode where the party that is out of power, the opposition party, simply just hopes for the other party to go bad so people will vote for them. That we don't have a rational political system where either of the parties can look at themselves and say, we screwed up, or we need to do better here, or we need to do something different to attract the voters. They're just two angry parties. And when I look at them, I look at a Republican Party. Okay, they won. They're in power. They got everything. And the Republican Party, it's kind of a party of personality. Donald Trump is the leader, clearly, of the party. And the Republicans feel they intuitively know, everybody can see that the system is messed up. We can see it. We can see the system's all broken and screwed up right now, that the country is in a precipitous decline, shall we say. The question is why. So the Republicans can see that it's in a precipitous decline, but they have convinced themselves that Donald Trump's going to come in like a bull in a china shop. He's going to clean up this corrupt and disastrous mess. And, you know, with his billionaire friends, and voila, they're going to fix it all. And then the system will be good, and off we'll go to a good and prosperous future. Right. Yeah, that's not happening. Meanwhile, you got the Democrats unable to even grasp the scale and magnitude of their loss and rejection, unable to look in the mirror and say, hey, people don't like our party anymore, and we got the living crap knocked out of us, and we need to rethink our priorities. Nope, unable to do that. So what you have is, again, and I hear Democrats saying, yes, look at Donald Trump and the billionaires and the oligarchs. And I'm like, yeah, that sounds like the Democratic Party. As a independent, I can see that both parties are clearly dominated by the oligarchs, that the leaders of so-called leaders of our country all work for oligarchs. They represent the ruling elite, not us. And so we just fight amongst ourselves like roaches scurrying around when the lights come on. And so right now the Republicans are in power. But the Democrats don't seem to have a self-awareness an ability to look in the mirror and say, hey, what do we need to fix? What do we need to do differently? And so what I see now with the Democrats arguing, you know, our leaders are the ones that should be in charge. They're going to do it right. Why, our billionaires are the good ones. And the Republicans, no, it's our billionaires. And I'll tell you what it makes me think of, what it really makes me think about. And that is, and forgive me if you've heard me use this analogy before. It reminds me of something that Frederick Douglass said. He recalled that when he was a child, that he was in town, you know, the slaves would be allowed to go in town. And he recalled that when he was in town and he saw two slaves fighting. And when he inquired as to why the two slaves were fighting, the two slaves were fighting over whose master had the biggest house. That was their argument. You know, and if you think about it, they both had accepted their position as slaves. They both didn't see a future or a change or feel that they should come together. They were both slaves. They shouldn't have been fighting. They should have came together. If anything, they should have been fighting against the master. They should have been plotting how they're going to run away, how they're going to do this or that, right? But what did these two slaves do? Two slaves fighting over whose master's got the biggest house. You got to laugh at that. It's sad and it's pathetic what was done to the minds of, you know, Black people at that time. And you can see it. I mean, that was a couple hundred years ago. And you can look back and you can shake your head and say, you got to be kidding me. What evil has been done to the minds of a people when they're fighting over whose master's got the biggest house, right? Unfortunately, we have returned to that right now. That's where we are now. We got a bunch of people fighting over who's master. No, my master, Trump, he's going to take us to the promised land. Oh, you're wrong. Our master, Biden or whoever, she's going to take us to the promised land. It's sad to me as a person who I'm the one who is saying, no, we need to run away. We need to get out from under here. We need to revolt. We need to do something. You know, you understand it. We're the slaves and they're the masters. Nope. I walk around and I see now what happens in order to regroup. You have to do some internal, you know, if you're an alcoholic, if you have an addiction, if you have a problem, if you've done something you shouldn't do, if you've committed a crime, you need to look in the mirror and say, I screwed up. I made a mistake. I didn't do something right. And then with self-reflection, you can live a better life. You can fix it. You can make a change, right? Question yourself. I don't see that. As sadly, as I see the Republicans, you know, they're in all their glory. Oh, we got it made now. Our guy's in charge and he's going to fix it all. No, he ain't going to fix it all. The billionaires are going to screw over the working class like they always do. And the policies that they have will be warmongering and laying off working class people. And this is the way it works. This is actually the way it works. It works like this, that let's just say 20 years, they've been given trillions of dollars in tax cuts to the rich. They've been given trillions of dollars in spending in wars, which go to the rich. And ultimately, what are they going to do? They're going to say, we've been spending too much and we've got to do some cuts. And what are they going to cut? So we got to lay off working class Americans. We got to cut programs for the poor. So we are in debt. Because we gave so much money to the billionaires and the rich and the wealthy. And the way that we're going to have to cut it is cut money. Now, all that money didn't go to the poor folks. It went to the rich folks. And so now we're broke because we spent too much giving to the rich. What are you going to do? It's time for the poor folks to take a haircut. So now the poor folks going to get cut. So that because we spent too much giving to the rich, that's the way it works. That's the system we live in. That system is destined to fall. But if you're a Democrat, you can't look in the mirror and say, hey, we have a systemic problem. See, part of what happens is this. As long as you're a Republican and you think the Republicans are going to save you and the Democrats are the evil guys, and as long as you're a Democrat, now you can do what you want. But as long as you're of a mindset to walk around Trump all the time, how you doing, Garland? What do you think about? Yeah, but people walk up to me all the time. Hey, you doing, Garland? I'm fine. What do you think about Trump? What do you think about our new president? I'm like, I don't. Trump is a manifestation of this system. That's what he is. As long as you're where you are, what you think about Trump, or, oh, Biden screwed up, now Trump and Elon Musk are going to fix it. As long as you're there, there's no hope for you. There's no hope for you because you're caught in a system of good and evil. And you, of course, are on the side of good, as everybody would know, right? It's a sad state of affairs and you can't get out of it. I mean, as a person who's an independent, I look at it. Let me give an example. I mean, it's just not rational to me. The parties are not rational. They are mirror images of each other. Example, 2016, and this is based on conversations that I've had with people recently. In 2016, Donald Trump beats Hillary. And what did the Democrats say? The Russians helped. The Russians did it for Hillary. And when you talk to them, they don't really, all they know is the Russians helped. They don't really understand the details of how supposedly the Russians helped. And they don't even understand that all of those things have been debunked, that it's absurd. But they believe it. So 2016, the Democrats are election deniers. No, Trump didn't win. It was not a good election. The Russians helped. Okay. 2020 comes along. Donald Trump says the Democrats didn't win. I was robbed. So now Trump is the election denier. Oh, and the Democrats go bananas. I can't believe he won't accept the 2020 elections after 4 years of them not accepting the 2016 elections. Okay, so then what happens in 2020? So Trump is the election denier. It's his turn. So 2024, if you listen to this show, you know, prior to the election, what did I say? I said, we are at a point now of instability, political instability, where whoever loses will say that the other person stole it. I can see that clearly because I'm not a member of either party. And I know, they know within their heart that the other guy stole it. Trump wiped the floor with the Democrats. He won every single swing state. You can hate him, you can love him, but he beat the brakes off the Democrats. It is what it is, like it or not. That's how I call it. I'm not supporting either one. That's the way I saw it. And the numbers speak for themselves. I have friends and Democrats that say he stole it. I'm like, he stole it. He stole it. You know what that would be like? That would be like, I'm a Commanders fan. They played the Eagles the week before last. They lost 55-23. I think it was 55-23, 24, whatever. It was somewhere right around there. They lost by like 30 points. They got beaten. They turned the fumble. They turned the ball over. It was just a thrashing, right? Is what it is. I love my Commanders. They lost by 30 some points. Can you imagine if after they lost by 30 some points, somebody said, what do you think about the game? And I said, the ref stole it. Really? The ref stole like 4 touchdowns and a field goal? Boy, those are pretty good refs if the ref stole it. And you would look at me like I was out of my mind and say, Garland, I know you're a Commanders fan, but you're not rational, dude. They lost by too large amount. The refs can't steal it. The refs could give them a field goal. The refs could give them a touchdown. The refs can't give them 30 some points. And no matter how much you like Kamala Harris, no matter how much you hate Trump, he stole every single swing state? It's not rational. And that's why I'm saying when I look at the two parties anymore, I see people who are irrational. The idea that Elon Musk, the richest man in the world, and the Republicans think he's going to save them, he's the richest man in the world. And might I add, let me add this about Elon Musk. So Elon Musk is concerned with government waste and spending. Oh, boy, he's got to go into all of these. We need to lay off people. We need to do this and that. Oh, we've got to. He's really concerned about government waste and spending. But he's got giant defense contracts. But guess what? He at one point when his SpaceX or whatever was going out of business, couldn't make payroll. Guess what happened? The government came in and gave him like a multi-billion-dollar contract, basically bailed out his company. So Elon Musk, richest man in the world, on our backs, on the backs of the taxpayer, the richest man in the world. And he wouldn't be the richest man in the world if it wasn't for getting government contracts. Electric cars that he sells. He has like carbon credits, which is a bunch of crap. So he is living off the government, but yet he's got to lay off government workers to save money. It's a fraud. But yet somehow the Republicans irrationally think that that guy is going to save the working class. The richest, think about this. The richest man in the world is going to save the working class. How brainwashed do you have to be and irrational to believe that? You know how brainwashed and irrational you have to be? You have to be just as brainwashed and irrational as to see Donald Trump win every swing state, stomp the Democrats into the ground, and they say, It was stolen because, I mean, the absurdities that I've heard. Well, it was stolen because Elon Musk did something on Twitter. The algorithms on Twitter, like 2% of black folks is on Twitter. How'd that work? Beforehand, I said, if you listen to the show the week before, I said, you know, I'm going to make a prediction. Kamala Harris is going to get stomped. And I gave several reasons why, but it was clear and obvious to me. Nothing has ever been more obvious in all the time that I call myself a so-called political analyst as that Kamala Harris was going to get stomped into the ground. I could go any number of reasons. Gaza was a big one. The fact of the matter was that the economy is tanked. The economy's crap, that inflation went up, but wages didn't, and people were sick and tired of being sick and tired, and they couldn't pay their bills, and all this stuff went up, and I'm like, and she was a horrific candidate, bumbling and stumbling and couldn't answer a single question. I'm not a Democrat. I didn't have to pretend like she was some genius. I didn't have to pretend like she was some surly Shirley Chisholm freedom fighter. I could be honest. She was a horrible candidate. She was about as sharp as a, you know, about as bright as a wet match in a dark cave. I watched her and I'm like, what a terrible candidate. She's going to get destroyed by Donald Trump. It was obvious to me because I'm not a Democrat. I don't have to pretend she's a good candidate. All these people, oh, she's going to win. I'm like, no, she's going to get stomped. And the best the Democrats could do was, I'm like, the economy's terrible. Oh, no, we have a website. Go to our website, and we've got pie charts and graphs. And I'm like, pie charts and graphs? People can't afford a pie. Forget the pie chart. They can't afford a pie. You're going to get crushed. Your candidate's bad. It's over. And they lost, which was easily predictable and was, in fact, predicted. And what do you know? We got robbed somehow. Twitter, I don't even know what. And I'm like, yeah, okay. And so then what comes along next week, what comes along the next week is, you know, I'm trying to hope amongst hopes. I won't call it a hope because I'm not hope, a hopey person. I'm not going to hope for hope because that would be hopeless. I was like, I just think it would be better for all of us if the Democratic Party could regroup and present a viable opposition to the Trump administration, because they're going to go on a rampage and you need a viable opposition. You don't just need a a red-eyed screaming bunch of maniacs who just hate Trump. Trump, 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 Trump. That ain't going to get it done. You have to have a viable, rational opposition to Donald Trump's policies. Nope, that ain't happening. It's, hey, we were robbed. Have you heard what Trump is doing? Look what he's doing there. Let me add this. And again, if you want to call in, 202-588-0893. You have to have something that I firmly believe in. If you listen to my show, you know what I believe in: a moral and intellectual consistency. If you have something that you believe in, a foundation that you believe in, right? This is what I believe in. These are my principles. If you believe in something, then it doesn't matter who the president is. It doesn't matter which party's in power, because you know what you believe in. As they say, you have a compass. You have a true north. Your moral compass always points you into the direction of the things that you believe in. And if Joe Biden or whoever's the president is doing something such as, I don't know, committing a genocide, you're going to be opposed to it. If Donald Trump does, you're going to be opposed to it. Doesn't matter who it is, because you don't go by who, you go by what. I don't care who's in power. I care what they're doing, and do those things align with my principles? And people will be able to tell, because you will have an intellectual and moral consistency on your positions. And in order to do that, you can't just say Trump, 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 or Biden, 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 Biden. It has to be nuanced. Everything's not black and white. There's grays. You have to look at what Trump does, what Biden does. And if they do something you don't like, you have to say, I oppose that. And again, I go back to Frederick Douglass. What did he say? I will ally with any man for good and no man for evil. That means that if Joe Biden does something I agree on, That was good. If he does something I disagree, it's evil. Now, a person can have a collection of things, a body of work, and you can say, as a whole, the body of work of this particular candidate is something that I disagree with. But if the candidate does one thing that I like, I gotta go with that. And it's nothing wrong with that. A body of work could create a overall view of this candidate in your mind. Okay. But in order to do that, you have to be able to nuance. You have to be able to look at each policy individually. And when Donald Trump comes in and says, I'm doing this, this department is going, well, I oppose that. Because these are federal workers, these are working class people. And don't tell me that you have to come in and lay off a bunch of working class people because we've spent too much money giving money to the rich. I'm going to oppose that. Because that policy is something that goes against my commitment to supporting working class people. Now, by the same token, when Trump goes to USAID, and I don't want to see one USAID employee, regular working class person, regular old working class person that's making a living. If you're going to get rid of whatever you're going to do, not one of those people, move them to something. Make sure these people have jobs. I would never want to see a working class person laid off. That being said, I understand what USAID is. It is a CIA branch. It is a regime change monster. That's what USAID is, like it or not. And then so you say, well, they go around the world and they do good things. It's a front. It's a CIA front. I understand what it is. That being said, I don't want to see any working class people getting laid off. So I have to be nuance these things. At any rate, here's what we're going to do. I'm glad to say we have some calls, and I'm looking forward to that. Number is 202-588-0893. And this is important because we deal with this every week. When Kalia answers the phone, he's the brains of this operation. Kalia is the guy that's making it all happen. He understands the technical side of it. I just run my stupid yap. He's the smart guy here, in case you hadn't figured that out. Kalia answers the phone and does his magic and puts you on hold. When he does that, don't set the phone down and listen to the radio or whatever you're listening to it. Keep the phone to your ear because we have a delay and you won't hear me. All right. 202, no speaker phones because we can't hear. 202-588-0893. First caller, you are on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
This would be T-Bird from Upper Marlboro, Maryland.
My main man, T-Bird. What's happening, brother?
Well, today I spoke on another program a little bit, and I brought up a simile that what's happening is something like the frog. A frog was put in hot water created by mm-hmm. someone like Trump, and it jumped out. It got mm-hmm. out fast. Now, let's say another frog, it was put into a pot, and they slowly turned the heat up, something like Biden, who promised things that were insincere and whatever. Things were slowly getting worse. You know, slowly the Highway 1 in California was filling up with people living in cars and abandoned buses and trucks and makeshift shacks and other things. And this happened 10 years ago because I brought that up because they were talking about the fact that things were getting better. And I was saying, are they getting better? And couldn't they get rid of the immigration problem if they actually showed these things to prospective immigrants coming to the United States? But I think what really it goes to is morality. When you have a morality that goes for the least of the worst, least evil of the worst, you got a morality where your morality is slowly being boiled away and killed. And I think that's what's happening in the United States. Because for too long, we've had billionaires just not giving us any choice but the slow boiling worse choice where they get all the money and they get all the tax breaks and they get to choose the people based on people running after them for their little dollars and whatever. And the country has been going down, slowly boiling. Am I upset about that and about the Democrats? Not really, because they're all trying to be in control and not us. And if they're in control, not us, then I don't care if the country burns. I'll go live somewhere else. I will be an immigrant to some place that has morality, and this place has lost it all. And
well, you know, you make a good point, because people have to, you have to understand what you have the power to do and what you don't have the power to do. And when you look around you and you see it, just a bunch of people, like I said, when you see two slaves fighting over which master's got the biggest house, you understand that you're in an irrational situation. And that, how are you going to get those slaves? You're not going to get those slaves to come together and understand what they're doing, because their minds are so corrupted. You know, you can only hope that one day they'll wake up, but it doesn't appear that they're moving in that direction. You get the last word. We got a couple more callers. Go ahead.
You get the last. You get the last word if you stand up for it. I don't think, except for PFW, every major newscaster, every major news media in this country got rid of its Palestinians. When they had, for example, hostages being released, mm-hmm. you heard a lot. You saw a lot about the Israeli hostages being celebrated and everything. Do you see the same thing about the Palestinians?
No. Nope.
Do you hear the major news media talking about the Palestinian genocide?
Nope. Never.
Nope. You get a leader, even if it's a newscast, even if it's a drum, you spread the news. And with the news, is they've been so bored here, they don't even spread the news. Most black people don't know what was happening and that they've been killing those people long before October 7th. So that's
you are correct. Thank you very much. Appreciate the call. My main man, T-Bird, 202-588-0893. We got open lines. What's your name? Next call, you're on air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
How you doing? Garland?
Yes.
How you doing?
Wonderful.
I'm good. My name is Youssef, and mm-hmm. I'm calling from Baltimore, Maryland.
All right. What's on your mind, my friend?
Well, I was wondering, I heard you talking. I'm getting this feedback, and I don't know why I'm not on the speakerphone, and I'm not near.
Sometimes we have a little problem with that. We're still working on it as best we can, but go ahead.
Okay.
As best you can.
Let me try to get this in. I'm not going to talk long. I was wondering if you were familiar with Greg Pallas.
Yes, I am. Know him well. I know him well.
Yes. Have you had an opportunity to look at his documentary on Vigilante Incorporated?
No.
Okay. Well, he, during the campaigns, he was talking about the voters who were being scrubbed off of different state mm-hmm. voters' rolls around the country. And it was quite a bit of that. And I think that it could have had a great deal to do with the outcome of the election. A lot of people were knocked off the rolls of the vote. A lot of people weren't able to vote. And also, I think that Citizens United has a very important or significant part of what happened in this last election and the 20 election as well.
Look, can I ask you a question? And this is the important question. Do you believe that the reason the Democrats lost had anything to do with the way they governed over the last 4 years?
Well, I'm from the school of Malcolm X. I'm an intercommunalist first and foremost. But, you know, when we talk about the Democratic and Republican parties, we know that they have a class interest that is not dedicated to the working class, to the broad majority of the population of people who produce America's wealth.
Right. They work for the ruling elite, not for us.
Both of those parties have issues. I would imagine, I mean, the way that Biden didn't concede willingly until the last minute, and the way that they scrambled to put
No, but I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about actually the way they governed, not the way they ran, not the way they did it or exchanged, the way they governed, the governance decisions that were made by the Biden administration regarding war and peace, regarding Gaza, regarding the things that Americans are concerned with. Do you think that people looked at it and said, I'm unhappy with that?
Garland, I don't think that America's government governs very much different today as it has since the American Revolution.
But still, so, I think this, I'm asking you a very specific question because I ask a lot of times, I ask people that question, and when I say to people, hold on, I say, do you think it had anything to do with how they govern?
Both of these,
I have, it's like pulling teeth. I can't get anybody to answer that and say yes or no.
What you want me to say? The Democrats are screwed up, man. Would you want to bash one party over the other?
Nope. I'm just asked a Democrat simple question. It's not bashing.
And I'm not a Republican.
Right. I mean, no, that's not. No, look,
so,
I'll put it like
wait
this.
A minute. Wait a minute.
I'm not asking. I'm just asking a simple question.
What I'm
question.
Saying is this. This system is broken. And that's the problem with this election. That's the problem with election.
I can agree with that's the point I'm making. I've been making that appointment. I've been making that point. But you know, and I'm just being clear with you. I like to be honest with people, and I like to have a fair and honest. And if you say ask me a question somewhere in a conversation, I like to try to answer that question. And I'm just wondering because I had a pretty clear question. Do you believe it had anything to do with the way the Democrats governed? Do you think that was possibly one of the reasons or had something to do with why they lost? And I understand
could
all the of the rest and I agree, but I'm wondering, is that
question.
A question that you would answer?
Let me answer your question. Could the Democratic Party run a better campaign?
I'm not talking about the campaign. I said with how they governed, the decisions they made, war and peace, Gaza, Ukraine, how they spent their money, the governing, day-to-day governing of the country. Do you think the way they governed had anything to do with them losing?
But the fact is, the things that the Biden administration did followed up on the things that the administration before it did. So,
well,
I mean, you know,
well, actually, I got a couple more callers. I've got two more callers. I certainly appreciate your call, but I got to jump to the next caller. Have a nice day. Thank you. And I'll say this to my, I'll say this to the people who are listening right now. It's an interesting example because I'm big on this. I believe in a conversation, an intellectual conversation. And if you and I have a conversation and you ask me a question, well, Garland, what do you think about this? I'm going to answer that question before I move on. I have noticed that that's a question that a lot of people will run from, that I'll say, do you think the way the Democrats governed for the last 4 years had anything to do with their loss? And I found about 99.9% of the time, what happened during that last call is what happens. Well, I think everybody's bad. That's not what I ask. Well, I think the Republicans also. That's not what I ask. I simply ask, do you think it had anything to do with the way they governed? My opinion is that it did. But I try to get an answer for the question. I certainly appreciate the brother calling from Baltimore and supporting the show. I certainly appreciate that. But I think that's a question that you can't get any, to me, you can't get anywhere politically until you answer that. That's a critical question moving forward. 202-588-0893. We got open lines. Next caller, you're on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
It's JD from DC.
Talk to me, JD.
Brother Garland, I follow you on your online and everything else, man. And guess what? Absolutely, brother. Absolutely. I form a law enforcement like you are, and spent 27 years in, you know, with the federal and D.C. government, and then also, too, you know, I understood your last cast that I listened to with Ray McGovern.
Mm-hmm,
brother, if people only knew. And see, this is the problem. See, the system that we have out here, man, they limit everything, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And the only true thing that Donald Trump said about saying that, it's not so much fake news, but news being inhibited by the media, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, we don't get enough of what we need to have. They'll give, like I said, when you look at your local news stories, they give you a dog story for 5 minutes. But they'll give you something that's happening in your neighborhood or something happening around the world in a second and a half, you know, or a hot minute. So therefore, people are uninformed. But when we look at the different things that are happening out here in the world, you know, and we see stuff. I'm sorry.
No problem.
Loud car, you know, but when we look at the real stuff that's happening out here and everything else and whatnot, man, you know, like I say, with you and Ray, you know, and you were Ray and everybody else, man, you know, and they give us the true facts.
Yeah, well, you know, nobody there's knows, an old saying that goes like knows. This. If you don't watch the news, you're uninformed. If you watch the news, you're misinformed.
Exactly. It was like when I watched with the Palestine thing. Mm-hmm. And I tell people about it, and I would tell people, hey, I don't want to watch that. That's horrible. Well, if it's horrible, you need to speak about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know? If you see what's going on in Ukraine, you need to speak about it. If you see where his money's going, and like you say, the same thing you said, Seth Rich. You know, I just wanted to throw that name out there because I heard it, Seth Rich. If you see what happened to this dude, it's horrible. Nobody wants to speak about these things, you know, and I'm not going to hold the time because I know you got other callers. But like I said, when we are informed, we are better. We are better because we like to take one path to another path and another path. And then we divide ourselves. And guess what? The only way the Democratic Party is going to come back together is to say, hey, wait a minute, you know. Let's stop the BS and be something. Yep. Will it happen? I'm not
Doesn't
sure.
Doesn't look like it.
Because we had the Donna Brazils, we had all the other people, you know, the Washington Schultzes and everybody else that were all connected, you know, along with and the Hillarys and everything else to do what they did, you know.
Yeah, thank you very much. Thank you. Appreciate the call. Well, and let me add this. The problem is it becomes team sports. And as soon as you're on Team Blue versus Team Red, anything on your team does, anything somebody on your team does has to be okay. And anything somebody does on the other team has to be bad. And you get away from an intellectual view where this is the way I view politics. And to me, people in the working class should view politics. WIIFM, brother, what's in it for me? That's a healthy way for working class people to view politics. You know, rather than, well, what is my team doing versus that's not your team. You think you're on Team Blue. You think you're on Team Red. They don't represent you. They represent their funders. They represent the billionaires. So you're like the guy that's in the stands. You're waving. Guess what? You paid to get in that game. The referees are paid. The coaches are getting paid. The players are getting paid. You're cheering for one of the two teams, but you ain't getting paid. You're not really on that team. You're watching the team, and which is fine when it's a football team because you understand what you're getting there. But when it comes to team sports, that's where you need representation, and you're not getting it. And instead, you settle. You settle for being a cheerleader. 202-588-0893. Next caller, you're on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Are you talking to me?
Yes, you are on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
This is Jeff, and I'm out of Virginia.
What's happening, Jeff?
Not too much, man. So I wanted to follow up on what you were talking about last week, and you said, what do the Democrats have to do to, you know, get elected again, right?
Mm-hmm.
And basically, they don't have to do anything at this point. They just need to just show what Donald Trump is doing, and they're going to be a shoe-in for the next, you know, election. They're getting, you know, right now, with all that stuff that he's doing, the Democrats are going to start looking really, really good again, and they don't have to change their ways. They don't have to do any of that stuff because, you know, Donald Trump is making such a crazy show out of it. They're going to start looking good. Do you agree?
No. I think at the direction they're going now, they're going to get. That's why I said it's unhealthy where we are. And let me add this. Yeah. Once parties get to the point where, how are you going to win? I'm just going to sit aside and hope the other guy screws up. But what happens if the other guy don't screw up? What happens if things don't work out for you? Now you got a party that says, we're not doing any. And not only that, if you and me as working class, as I don't know about you, I'll speak as if the working class now, we're just waiting for our party, for the other party to screw up so that our party can get in. Our party ain't going to do nothing for us. We have not asked them for anything. We have not pushed them saying, hey, y'all got beat. Y'all got to do something for us. We ain't even asking for nothing. We're just sitting around waiting for other parties. So what if they get back in? They're going to do the same thing they did. And then what's going to happen?
Yeah.
The Democrats get in and they screw up for 4 years and get blown out and make excuses. Then the Republicans come in and they screw up for 4 years and they get blown out. And we don't even get the lesser of two evils. We get the evil of two lessers. And we get to fight over whose master's house got, whose master got the biggest house like two ignorant slaves.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
And the thing about it is, you know, the Democrats, even or the Republicans, all they have to do is just try to be more honest and more forthcoming with what's actually going on. You know, they have to stop trying to pull the wool over everybody's eyes. Everybody can see everything that's going on. And they're out there going, oh, no, this isn't happening. And oh, that's happening. And oh, this is happening. When we're seeing reality. And, you know, they have to stop treating us like we're a bunch of idiots. We can see everything in front of them.
But let me ask you this.
Just say, hey, go ahead.
But let me ask you this. To some extent, don't we act like a bunch of idiots? You know what I mean?
Yeah, because
sometimes
we can fall for
my dad used to have a saying. He was just an old country guy. My dad had a third grade education. He was a longshoreman, but he was a smart guy. But he had sayings like this: can't nobody climb on your back unless you're half bent over. If you stand straight up, they'll slide off, right? So if the parties are doing nothing for us, if the parties are laughing at us and they're just waiting every 4 years for the other guy to screw up so they can get back in, if they make promises to us that they never keep, and we just keep supporting them. You know what?
Yeah.
As P.T. Barnum said, it's a crime against God and nature to allow a sucker to keep his money. If we are suckers, they ought to take our money. There's an old saying like this: a nation of sheep begets a government of wolves. Go ahead.
Yeah. The other thing is the question about, you know, how well, you know, about how they governed. You know, the thing about it is the Biden administration governed well in a way like, you know, they didn't go and try to chop all these, you know, agencies, and they went through the normal process of trying to get bills passed, trying to make changes in a normal way. In that sense, they did govern in a good way, but they just got killed with the two wars and the economy, and that's where
I want you to think about this, though. I have to stop you. They got killed with the two wars and the economy. That was their policies. I argue the Biden administration's problem was it was a neocon administration. It was nothing but a war party. Everything was war. People were mad. People were like, well, wait a minute. You mean to tell me that people get washed away, their whole towns get washed away in North Carolina, you're going to give them $700 each, and they're like, hey, we've got to send another billion, $100 billion to Ukraine. People don't want to hear that crap. Another $28 billion to Israel. Oh, $500 million to Taiwan. People don't want to hear that crap. That's what got them beat. In my opinion, that's the biggest thing that got them beat was an absolutely ignoring the plight of everyday Americans spending unthinkable amounts of money overseas. That is bad policy, buddy. That is bad policy, and that will get you what they got. And now they can't even admit that their foreign policy was a disastrous politically.
Yeah. Well, in most administrations, the foreign policy is a disaster. It's never changed.
No, the country has disastrous foreign policies, but theirs were particular, and they need to own it. Theirs was bad, and they lost. And it wasn't, you know, ooh, somebody stole. You got beat. I mean, come on. As bad as they got beat, and they're making excuses that somebody stole it, it's kind of embarrassing to me.
Yeah, and now Trump wants to, you know, exterminate, basically, and he's putting it in such a nice way. Oh, we want them to live, the Palestinians I'm talking about. Oh, we want them to live in a nice, you know, safe place, which they had before it got obliterated. Okay. Yep. And we want them to move them to a nice place. All he's doing is Netanyahu's bidding. All he's doing is, Netanyahu's saying, oh, let's bring it up a notch.
You know what?
Trump owes him.
Yeah, but you know what? Here's the bad thing. Me being an independent, Tony Blinken said the same thing right after October 7th. Well, Tony Blinken said, yes, they should go out into the Sinai and blah. So Tony Blinken said this was the policy all along. The policy from Blinken, oh, yeah, we'll move them out of Gaza. And everybody was like, yeah, you know, you move them out of Gaza, you'll never bring them back. And now, see, and yeah. then you get the hypocrisy because people are like, well, yeah. wait a minute, Democrats. When Tony Blinken said the exact same thing, y'all didn't get mad. When Biden tried his best to exterminate him for 16 months, y'all didn't get mad. And now you're mad because Trump said, hey, let's move him out and blah, 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 blah. The hypocrisy, yeah. It's an inconsistent, it's a morally and intellectually bankrupt position to overlook what the Democrats did and then suddenly say, oh, well, Trump said, you know what I'm saying? And people look at that, they're like, you got to be kidding yeah. me. Go ahead. I'll let you get the last word in before I jump to the next caller.
No, I mean, it's all. And then today I was watching on C-SPAN, you know, the Department of Education, these people trying to get into their buildings. It's heartbreaking. You know,
yes,
when
is.
I first heard it's about those and all that stuff that's going on, it didn't impact me. But today I'm watching that and I'm watching these people and I'm thinking about it. It's like, man, you know, I would hate to all of a sudden it would devastate me if all of a sudden my job was gone.
The people,
you know, and I could just imagine what the people are feeling.
We just spent the last 20 years with tax breaks for the rich and all this money for war. And again, Biden was all down for that. And now it's time to pay the piper. What are we going to do? Well, the working class have to take a haircut. That's the way the United States, it's horrible to think about. But thank you. Appreciate the call. 202-588-0893. Next caller, you're on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from? Next caller, you are on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from? I fear that this caller might have set that phone down and not be listening. Well, that's okay. We still got enough time for a couple more calls. 202-588-0893. Kalia, we got any more phone? We got another caller? I can't tell. Next caller, you're on the air.
Yes, hi.
Can
you hear me?
Loud and clear.
Oh, wonderful. This is my first time calling in, and I'm calling from D.C., and I actually want to answer your question where you said about the Democrat governance.
Yes.
I think they did a horrible job at governing for several reasons, but it's unfortunate because, as you have already stated, people always want to say, oh, it's my team. And because my team is the color that it is, then they're the better team. It was horrible. The election was awful. People wanted to vote for the female nominee because she was a person that looked like a lot of us. And that wasn't necessarily the best thing because she never could say legitimately anything that she was standing for. I'm not a Trump supporter. I'm not a Harris supporter. But I just think that it gets very old because people want to vote for somebody that looks like them. We all know that Donald Trump, the first go round, he said he was going to clean the swamp. They messed around when he first got in and they toyed saying, oh, we're going to, I can't think of the word right now. Oh my gosh. The word.
That's okay, continue.
When they wanted to, Nancy Pelosi, they did it twice. I said, now, if they
oh,
really
the impeachment. The impeachment.
Yes. Thank you. They talk. They always were just talking. If they wanted to impeach him, they talked about impeaching him. They talked about a lot of things that he was doing before his hand went on that Bible the first time. But as soon as he got in office, they wanted to do was they said, oh, we're going to impeach him. They just followed through because they said it, but they really didn't thoroughly follow through, because if they really had impeached him, we would be seeing the same situation that we did with Richard Nixon. But they,
well, here's the thing about it. I got to throw this at you. And I said it at the time when they said, we're impeaching Donald Trump. I said, it's a waste of time, because in order to get a conviction, but when a president is impeached, you have to have 2/3 of the Senate, which at that time meant they were going to have all the Democrats and half the Republicans vote for the impeachment. There is no way they were going to get that. So when they impeached Donald Trump both times, it was just for show. They knew good and well they would never get the votes to convict him in an impeachment. If you know you're not going to get, and they were like, well, you have to do it to stand up for this or that. And I'm like, no. Why are you focusing on that when people out here are trying to eat? Why don't you focus on the issues of the people instead of this showmanship to show everybody you're going to stand up against Trump? And how did that work out? He's right back in office again. It was absurd.
It definitely was absurd. And they gave him free publicity. Everything he did, he didn't have to pay a dime for campaigning, because the media and the Democrats rolled out the red carpet. And he was even surprised that he won.
They made him, you know what's even worse? They charged him with 1 million charges. They did all this stuff. In my opinion, it helped him. They made him look like a victim. Instead of just running against him, they did all of this stuff. Now Donald Trump looked like a victim, and they end up getting beat up. I'm just speechless at times when I look at what the two-party system has become in this United in the United States. We don't have a rational system, and this thing is coming. The wheels are coming off the cart in this country.
They're already off.
Yeah, there ain't even a cart.
And people are, and I'm not going to hold this up any longer. But people are really they are saying, oh. This is awful what he's doing. But in all actuality, if we really, really search our souls and really, really look at the overall picture, you know, the COVID situation with people lingering outside of the workplace and people saying, oh, if they making me go back to the office, I'm going to quit. Goodbye. Goodbye. Because people, I believe, I think that party allowed a lot of people to have the arrogance of, you owe me because I'm a human being in this world. And so if I don't feel like going back to work, you can't make me. But now when changes come, and I'm not necessarily saying the way that he's going about doing it is the correct way, but a lot of times, embrace change. It's good for you. And this has
been
a
well, I got to get ready to run. Thank you very much. Well, I'll put it like this too. Thank you very much for the call. I don't have a problem with someone saying, hey, people have to go to work, but I always stand for the working class. And the idea that after they spend all of their money giving it to the rich people, including Elon Musk, now they're going to lay off working class people. I oppose that with every fiber of my being. But because I'm not a member of a party, if Donald Trump does something that I think is a good move, I'll say good. If he gets out of Ukraine, I will cheer. That's a war I won over. But when he says I'm going to get rid of federal employees, it makes me furious. It infuriates me. But because I'm not a party member, I'm based on policy, I can be furious about one of his policies and cheer for another of his policies because I'm about policies. I have a compass for right and wrong. All right, do we got any more? Kalia, we got any more calls? No more calls. All right. Well, thank you very much. And okay, so we're going to get ready to make out. But don't forget, very, very soon, we're going to go into Fund Drive. And it's critical that you become a part of WPFW and become a member if you can afford it. And especially prepare. We're going into Fund Drive. Next week, I'm going to be back and I'm going to ask my people to, you know, to step up to the plate. And we're going to have, but basically, we'll have a number I need to get to each week. And I'm going to ask everybody to come back next week and to, you know, those who can't afford it to pitch in and make contributions to WPFW. I want to thank my main man, Kalia. He does a great job in dealing with the callers and fixing all the technical issues. I want to thank everybody at PFW for the support. So if you want to get in touch with me, Garland Nixon on Facebook, Garland.Nixon on Instagram, GarlandN, that's my first name and the first letter of my last name, at gmail.com, at GarlandN, that's my email address, GarlandN@gmail.com, at GarlandN on Telegram. Thank you very much, and thank you very much. Don't forget, Fun Drive is coming. Keep WPFW on the air. Be a part of it. Thank you. We're out.
The courage to tell the truth about displacement, apartheid, and genocide, or our commitment to presenting jazz and all of its extensions, as well as other liberatory musical forms, blues, hip-hop, house. WPFW has been an unwavering partner in the fight for social justice and the preservation of the culture. Now's the time for you to display your courage and commitment to truly independent press by donating during our winter pledge drive from February 9th through the 22nd. It is with your generous financial support that WPFW, this emancipatory educational media outlet, continues to build a better world, one broadcast at a time.
Climate Friday host Reverend Lennox Yearwood Jr. is but one of the black voices in climate and environmental justice that will be featured at this year's Taking Nature Black Conference, March 5th through the 8th. presented by Nature Forward and themed Reclamation and Resilience, with both online and in-person participation for connection, knowledge, inspiration, and more. Details about Taking Nature Black Conference at natureforward.org/takingnatureblack, all one word, Taking Nature Black. That's Taking Nature Black, Reclamation and Resilience, March 5th through the 8th. WPFW, building a better world, one broadcast at a time.
Hi, this is Jim Byers, host of the Latin Flavor Classic Edition. Support from listeners like you are the tools that have built WPFW over nearly five decades. We provide news, music,